They have cleverly stowed away in Arizona palm trees, and they are thriving in the dry desert climate of Las Vegas. One might be hiding in a broom closet, or in the case of my home, in the guest bathroom, or scurrying across a patio near you somewhere. The bark scorpion is becoming a Las Vegas pest problem to rival cockroaches and ants, except the scorpion's sting can send victims to the emergency room. Joining us to talk about the scorpion invasion is entomologist Grady Jones. He's with Western Exterminators here in Las Vegas. Grady, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So how long have bark scorpions been a problem here?
Well, we first discovered them probably 25 years ago, so they've been here quite some time. But, of course, because the climate is perfect for them, it's similar to their native habitat. They get more and more plentiful every year. And so we're going to, unfortunately, see more and more of them each year.
Okay, so where did they come from? How did they get here?
Typically, it's going to be, as you said, on desert landscaping. The most notorious is the palm trees, those that come in across the state, and landscaping rock, that kind of stuff. And, of course, as palm trees and other plants sit in nurseries and things like that, they'll spread to plants that you might not expect. So they can come in a variety of ways. But typically, it's going to be landscaping and palm trees.
Okay. Every time someone plants a palm tree, that happens here a lot, of course, our neighbor plants a palm, there's a danger that there may be another batch of scorpions.
Absolutely. Yeah. This type of scorpion can live in groups. And so you can have one palm tree. We found, several hundred on a single palm tree. So, yeah, you can have no scorpions in a neighborhood and bring one palm tree in and in sort of an instant population.
An instant epidemic. How big a problem are they? How many homes have been affected? Or are likely to have been affected?
Quite a few. It's surprising. We get more and more calls each year. This summer, we've had quite a few. A lot of it is related to the weather, of course. And so you'll see that cycle kind of climb up and down a little bit population-wise. But we probably average 100 to 200 calls a week to sometimes 500 and even 1,000 calls from the Las Vegas Valley regarding scorpions. And almost in every case, even though we have 22 or 23 species of scorpions native to the area, it's almost always going to be the Arizona bark scorpion. They're one of the few scorpions that is comfortable living around us.
So for those of us who can stand to listen to it, describe the bark scorpion a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what they're like, the size and some of the other particulars.
Well, they're kind of a creepy. I guess all scorpions are probably creepy to most people, but they're a smaller scorpion. Your adults aren't going to reach more than really 3 inches, and in the wild they'll be typically smaller than that. They're a very thin and frail scorpion, so it's kind of a brawn over venom sort of thing. Our bigger scorpions with big claws and big bodies typically don't have the venom, and so they need that power. But the bark scorpion's thin and frail, thin claws, thin tail. Doesn't really have to hold its prey for very long because its venom is powerful. They're usually a pale or a tan color. People will describe them as clear and small. It's very difficult to tell scorpions apart by color. It really has to do with their other characteristics. One of the things that they do that makes them a problem and that is also helps us identify them in a home is they'll climb. Most of our other scorpions don't. So if you see a scorpion on your wall, particularly on the inside of a house where the walls are more smooth, it's almost always going to be a bark scorpion. But they're thin and small scorpions that climb. They live in groups, unlike other scorpions. You put two other scorpions together and one will eat the other. With bark scorpions, they'll live comfortably in groups of 200-300 oftentimes.
Are there parts of the city that are especially likely to see these scorpions, or is the whole Vegas Valley vulnerable?
It really is coming from everywhere now. Mm-hmm. There was a time where it was sort of a few pockets in the valley, and now there's really no particular area that we get them from the north, south, east, west, and right in the center as well.
So how do scorpions get access to someone's home?
Well, there's a couple ways. I mean, usually it's going to be just quite often the way we get in. It'll be the doors and that kind of thing. They'll be attracted to that cool air. And, of course, cool air to an animal in the wild, especially out here in the desert, typically means water. So they're going to come to that feeling like that's going to be a nice little habitat for them. But also out here, besides doors and openings and windows and things, we have every home out here has a little ledge about 4 or 5 inches up from the bottom, from the ground, on the outside of the house. And if you look under that ledge, there'll be a hole about every 4 or 5 inches. Those are called weep screeds. And they'll just, they'll radiate towards the house. They hit that. They go up 4 or 5 inches, and bingo, perfect little home for them. And they'll sit up in there. Eventually, when no food starts to come, they'll make their way up to the attic and come down in vents and things like that.
Any sort of way to seal those holes? I mean, it's a little steel wool in them or something like that?
It's pretty difficult. We've looked at a lot of different solutions there, but it's not just the holes in the weepscreed itself. Sometimes it's not positioned perfectly against the back, and it doesn't take much. They, as I said, they're small and they climb well, so they can squeeze into pretty small spaces. What you can do, and really if you have a scorpion problem, have to do, is inject different types of pesticidal dusts up in those weepscreeds. And there's a couple other repellent products that you can try and put on there that'll keep them out of there, and that's probably easier than sealing it up.
Okay, so I've identified I got scorpions in my house. Is that the next step? I mean, is just some of the pesticide chemicals?
It really is. Mm-hmm. You know, unlike some bugs, you know, there are lots of different pest problems that you can take care of at home yourself with a little diligence and a lot of effort. But with scorpions, it really does require a professional, mainly because, you know, the myth is that you have to use some powerful unknown toxin on the scorpion to kill it. They're actually not much more difficult than most other pests to kill. It really is just getting it on them. They don't move most of their life. You know, roaches will come out and run around every night, but scorpions will spend 85-95% of their life in a burrow. So once they enter that weepscreed or a place that they're comfortable around a palm tree, they may sit there for days and days and days and not move and not expose themselves to the pesticide that's being sprayed around the house, certainly not in a big enough number to kill them. So you've really got to go find them and get it on them, and that's where a professional really does come in.
There are some animals and some chemicals that just kind of clash. Cats can't stand citrus. You know, they don't like lemon, things like that. Is there anything like that naturally that the scorpion will just kind of avoid?
Well, there are a few things. The problem is getting it in a consistency that'll work. You know, we've used, for instance, capsaicin, which is just the essence of pepper. And we use that in different gels and things, and that works pretty well. It just depends, again, on the product you put it on, because out here in the desert, everything breaks down quickly. So you have to use something that will hold up. But those are the kind of products we typically look to put around a home. Diatomaceous earth is another that you'll hear about a lot of times in scorpion use. Basically, it just dries them out. Scorpions rely on this waxy coating on the outside of their bodies called a cuticle. And that's how they live in deserts and in environments that are harsh without water for a long period of time. So as soon as you start to break down that waxy coating, they'll dehydrate and die. They'll desiccate and dry out. So that's really how those kind of products work. And that's why any kind of those pesticidal dusts will work really well on them. It'll break down that protective coating and kill them faster.
Okay, so Scotch bonnets, habaneros, you don't want to scatter them around the house, but I suppose you could try that.
You might try it. You'd probably scare off every other animal in the world.
That's for sure. Now, the other weird thing with the scorpion, which is, I think, kind of creeps a lot of people out, is that they sting. They've got that nasty tail. What happens if I get stung by a scorpion? What are the symptoms likely to be like?
Well, you know, that's I think part of the problem is it's an infinite number of reactions. First of all, there's our reactions. I might react much worse to a sting than you, for instance, just based on my own allergies and sensitivities.
Is this like bee stings where it's possible to have severe allergic reactions?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can have a whole range there within us. And then there's a whole other variable in that the scorpion can change its venom injection. It can dry sting. It can alter the proteins in its venom slightly to where it can inject you with, say, for instance, what we call a pre-venom cocktail, which is sort of like a bee sting. They'll localize that venom, and it'll hurt only at the site where you're stung. Or they can fully envenomate you, and that would be essentially a systemic neurotoxin injected into the body, and that's going to be painful.
It's going to be painful. Is it usually necessary to be taken to the emergency room right away?
Well, we like to recommend it pretty much in every case, just because you never know. Really what they do there is just sort of monitor anaphylaxis. They're looking for shortness of breath and more serious symptoms of anaphylactic shock. But smaller children, I would say, 2-3 years and under, and very elderly or those that are sensitive should definitely report. But oftentimes you can fend it off yourself just by putting some ice on it and just sort of toughen it out.
Yeah. What are the symptoms of a full-on sting? I mean, what can you expect if the neurotoxins are cranked up to 10?
Well, I was stung. Unfortunately, I've been stung a couple times. And I know the first time I was stung was on the pinky, and I had extreme pain, almost like a hammer just smashing my finger for 6 hours or so. And then numbness from the hand to the end of my shoulder. The numbness of my hand lasted almost a month in spots, but up to the shoulder about 24 hours.
That's not like a bee sting for many of us.
Not at all.
That's more pretty venomous. Intense.
Yeah, their venom is similar to that of a cobra. It's almost the same type of venom. Of course, it's in a much smaller quantity, But it's a serious, it is the most venomous scorpion in North America.
Well, my uncle who lived in southern New Mexico would always, you know, Boots, would always make it a point of turning them upside down. I assume Boots can be mistaken for caves too.
Yeah, absolutely. In Arizona, where these are more popular, people just have practiced those things. They shake out their shoes, beat them out. They'll, in fact, put glass jars around the bases of the beds underneath those and keep the covers up off the ground, the bed away from the wall, those kind of things, because they don't climb glass and real smooth surfaces well. So, lots of different precautions.
Household pets, are they a little more watchful for these kinds of things than we tend to be?
They'll probably notice it.
Notice. Are they more vulnerable as well?
Yes. Well, typically with venom, it's really going to be about body weight. Mm-hmm. So the smaller, of course, the body, then the more susceptible it is to symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Grady Jones is an entomologist with Western Exterminators here in Las Vegas. Grady, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.